Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the upcoming Outlander series or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 28 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander. So, announcements this week. I think the most interesting announcement for me this week was when Diana posted that this week is the 26th anniversary of the week that she started writing Outlander. And she wrote a really lovely post, which what I like about this post is if you've ever heard her speak about the book, this is pretty much everything she says. It's almost like...
it's like a one-stop shop.
Correct.
To figure out how she began and the development.
Every time I've seen her interviewed, she gives a version of this as the answer. But I listen every time and I'm always engaged and interested. But we did post this on our site if you wanted to go check it out and read
about it. On our Facebook page.
On our Facebook page?
Yeah.
On our Facebook page. We also got two Instagram photos from Outlander stars this week. We got a picture of 1940s Claire getting her makeup did. But I think her hair is almost looks too coiffed.
It's definitely
to me. I mean,
poofy.
It's beautiful, and I think that's part of the problem. Because when you read the books, she talks about how the landlady basically accuses her of getting a bad perm in the books. So
yes.
When I see this picture, that does not in any way, shape, or form look like a bad perm. That looks like beautiful curly hair.
Well, just because you have curly hair doesn't mean you can't do your hair.
Well, no, I agree with that, but...
this definitely does not look like her hair is frizzed to heck.
Right. This...
it looks coiffed.
Correct. It looks like it's been done, and she doesn't... she's never stricken me... stricken me?
Struck
me? She's never struck me as the type of person...
I don't think she's ever...
who cares about her
you
hair.
Ever, but go ahead. As a person who would what?
Who spends a lot of time doing her hair. And, I mean, as a character, that's not something that's, that seems to be on the front and foremost with her. Anyway.
No.
Her hair looks beautiful. Okay, and the other picture, I'm going to make that a word now. The other picture that they put, the other picture that Stars posted was a picture of Jamie and Claire on horseback and
surrounded by production people
yeah.
and extras. Oh, and that's Ronnie Goodwin in the background, by the way.
Okay.
Shout out to Ronnie Goodwin.
But good Lord, this is literally the most unflattering picture they've posted of these two yet.
And well, this is more flattering of Katrina than the one of her where people were asking, was that her? Just because it was a weird, an odd angle, but her
well,
face...
well, this is an odd angle.
But I could tell it's her.
I can tell it's her, but this is... I mean, this doesn't even look like Sam. Like, poor thing. It doesn't even... like, I was looking at this picture, and I was zooming in on it, and I was trying to make this look like Sam, and the
you're
closer
trying to
I...
make it.
The closer I got into the picture, I was like, nope. It looks, it honestly, and it sounds bad. It honestly looks like somebody's wearing, like, a Sam mask that's not quite sitting over his face right. And I don't know, maybe it's because he's dirty or the angle or what, but it just, it doesn't look like him. And I've taken pictures of myself that don't look like me. So, I mean, it's possible, but there were a lot of people, I think, online questioning whether or not it was a stunt double.
In both of them. This one and the one that was released before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it totally looks like Katrina.
Well, I thought the other one, while it didn't necessarily look like her perfectly, if you look at her facial proportions, you get a stunt double to be as similar as possible to the body proportion, not the face, because
yeah,
you're never going to do a close-up.
No, they usually, it's
they do wigs, they do
height.
Pat them. It's
they
height
need somebody height and stature,
shape,
and then...
and then they can wig them or
and it's mostly for setting up shots.
Yeah.
Or that's actually stand-ins, where they use for setting up shots, but... I don't know.
But yeah, facial proportions are not important on stunt people. But anyway, yeah, so I definitely thought it was her, both the last time and this one. But it was a little... it was a very interesting picture, I'll put it that way.
For sure.
What was that little head cock you just did?
Because the word that struck my head wasn't interesting when I saw this picture.
Oh, okay.
I thought
let's
it was,
go on to the
I thought
next
it was
thing.
Jarring.
Okay.
Anyway, we also got a picture from Outlander Star's Facebook page. I guess their way of celebrating... daylight savings time.
And can I just say, it wasn't funny.
There are
having
people that are seriously afflicted by this.
There are, all over the world.
Anywho.
Go ahead.
They said, sad about losing an hour, Claire lost 200 years.
And she really didn't. As someone pointed out on Facebook, she lost her life. not, she doesn't die, but she lost her life with Frank, of course, and her time, but she actually went back. And when you fall back, you gain. So she gained 200 years, although, because she wasn't born in the 18th century. But I know what they're trying to say. She went back 200 years is what they're saying. But yeah, it doesn't matter. As I said a few times, she's fictional. Don't matter nut. Don't matter much. Yeah, it was funny. It was funny, but yeah.
Anyway.
But I love the picture.
The picture is beautiful. I can't even really tell what time of day it is because Scotland...
Well, there's a lot of sun, so it's probably... It could be midday.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It's hard to say because it's overcast. But it's
quite bright in that one corner.
But that could be... They could have lit that themselves.
I kind of doubt it. I mean, look how big that... But it is daylight. Why would you use that much...
Maybe it wasn't enough daylight. I don't know. I'm just saying. It looks like daylight, but, you know, movie magic. I'm
pretty sure it's daylight.
Anyway, it's a picture of Castle Doon, or is...
no, it's...
I'm Leic. Not saying that.
Leic.
I thought you were going to say Leic Doon again.
Now, you just said that.
You can just cut that out. No, I don't want proof of me having said that.
It's too late.
Leic. This week was also Tobias Menzies' birthday.
Happy birthday, Mr. Menzies. Tobias. Summer does not like...
I don't like that word.
She doesn't like me saying that word.
It gives me the heebs. Anyway... Katrina posted a very cute picture of them, and it literally looks like they're in their cups.
Just a little bit.
They're so adorable, though. Diana even posted it, and she said, "Have seen a bit of Tobias both as Frank Randall and as Jack Randall. Amazing."
And so, even though I had already shared it when I saw Katrina's tweet, I'm like, "Oh, that's really cute, and it's Tobias. Come on already. No, come on now, guys. You know how I feel about this actor." So I posted it, but then when I saw Diana post it, and she didn't, you know, give pages an essay about it, but she gave that little line that Summer just read, and I thought, oh, I have to share this again. So, yeah, we shared it twice. We know, or I could imagine, that she's seeing all kinds of things probably all the time. Scenes or, you know, bits of episodes, and to be reminded again, because it kind of, I don't always think of her sitting there and watching a lot, but to see her, to read about again, how she has seen him as both. Whew, chills.
And lastly, we got a new How to Speak Outlander video this week. This one featuring Callum and Dougal.
Or Callum and Dougal.
Something like that. Like I said, I try not to butcher the Scottish language on purpose. I'm just really good at it.
She just lets me do it.
So sometimes I like to step aside and let somebody else take a whack at it.
She just means me.
And I posted it on Facebook this week. I thought it was funny. It looked like Graham finally finished his cookie.
Yes, because he's talking. He's finally getting chatty.
Well, it's and like every video they've posted so far that's included Graham in it, he's been chewing on a cookie. And it's been like, it feels like months he's been chewing on that cookie.
And all of these videos are probably made
the same day, obviously. Because he's still chewing the cookie.
It's the same cookie.
So anyway, I just think it's funny that he finally finished the cookie, so congrats, Graham, on finishing that cookie. And now, on to the read-along. We are reading chapter 23, Return to Leic.
So, we left last week. She had gotten the belt. Oh, and then they had their night walk back.
Yes.
Because they could no longer, because she put them, naughty Claire, put them all in danger. They had their night walk to get back to, well, they could only travel by night, and so... The bulk of the last chapter of that conversation was happening on the road between the two of them and the rest of the men. Yes, the rest of the men rode ahead to give them a little more privacy. This chapter begins. They pull up basically. It makes me think of they're in like a car. No, they're not.
Only they're not.
They pull up with their horses at the Red Boar Inn, and Dougal's actually waiting for them. And they do get to sleep, but Claire wakes up suddenly shouting, "Horrocks!" Well, probably not with that kind of R. Probably Horrocks, like that, with an English retroflexive R. And scares Jamie half to death. And
I'm sorry, it doesn't matter what you scream. You scream anything when I'm asleep and wake me up. Yes. I'm going to be scared half to death, too.
I hear you. So she freaks him out. He wakes up, grabs his knife, all that. And she had remembered, in the middle of her sleep, that she had forgotten to ask him about whether he'd spoken with Horrocks. And Jamie tells her that, yes, he'd found him. And unfortunately, we learned that it was Randall who had shot the sergeant major. So there's not really going to be a way out of that one as they had maybe hoped. Claire mentions, well, what else? What can we do? Where can we go? She suggests maybe going to France or even America, to which Jamie says, no way, Jose, not across the ocean. And we see a little bit of a mention of something here, although not in detail. We learn later on what it's about.
Right. Well, right now it just sounds like he's a big snob. And he's not interested in moving to America. Like, right now, it just seems like, nah, I'm not going to America. Well, we find out later there's much more to do with it.
But. Has to do with the ocean. So we find out that Jamie has uncles and cousins with a foot in the King James camp, politically. He does say that they may be able to stay in Scotland. He would be maybe a crofter, or best case scenario, they may be even be able to return to Lallybroch. And Claire is still thinking ahead of her goal of getting back to the Stone Circle and then realizes, you know, maybe not to leave Scotland. So she's kind of thinking, you know, what can they do in Scotland? Because if they go away, that's the further physically away they are from the stones, but also, you know, from her past / future. She's afraid that they may go to France or anywhere else, and that taking her further away from Frank and getting back to her life. Dougal, who had been waiting for them at the inn when they had arrived the night before, did have a message from Colm, and that was that he, meaning Dougal, and Jamie and Claire were to return to Leic immediately. An English noble, quote, that's had dealings with Colm before, was expected shortly. He thinks that the visitor might be persuaded to do something for him, meaning Jamie. Maybe have the charge of murder dismissed, or even get a pardon. We find out that it was the Duke of Sandringham whom they were expecting. And as they are discussing it in their room, Claire starts at the name, but covers her surprise by blaming it on this crawling bedbug. And at the mention of the bedbug, though, she leaps out of bed, and Jamie calls her, my wee milkweed. They rode fast to make it to Leic before the Duke. And they did. They make it to Leic. But they arrive very tired and bedraggled. Jamie carries Claire upstairs. And as Leary sees Claire in Jamie's arms, she is appropriately shocked. Colm sees them, and Mrs. Fitz tells him they're married, because she had already encountered them as they came in. And then she goes to fix a room for them. Colm doesn't seem too happy, but he seems to grimly accept it. And he says that they'll have to talk, that he'll have to talk to Dougal and Ned Gowan regarding the legal matters. And he says that there are things that Jamie is entitled to when you wed by the terms of your mother's dower contract. Jamie says that one of the things he gets is a share of the quarterly rents from the Mackenzie lands. And Claire hears this. Up in their room, Claire is about to drop into sleep when she sees Jamie about to leave, and he tells her he has a small errand to do. And of course, Claire thinks, they're back at Leic. Claire did not see the look on Jamie's face when he saw Leary, but we know she knows that he saw Leary, and she also saw Leary, and she saw Leary's face, so she thought he was going to go see her and who knows what else. Claire thinks, as I said, he's going to tell Leary the news of their marriage, and Claire has a lot of inner dialogue about Jamie and Leary and what he's said about her, about him liking women in general, and decides that she is indeed awake enough to get up and wash herself.
Well, you know,
she was about to go straight to bed.
Anger has a way to do that.
Anger, yes. And probably adrenaline at this point. So she tries to tell herself that she has no claim on his feelings and that she had married him also out of necessity. And she now knows that he had to be married to collect his income. At least that's what she's thinking, that this is part of his reason that he still hasn't told her. She changes into a fresh shift and wonders how Mrs. Fitz and her minions could have gotten all of this room, the room and everything in it, ready so quickly between seeing them come in and them getting up to the room, and remarks that she would have done well at the Waldorf Astoria or the London Ritz.
You know, the movie, the Despicable Me movies, have ruined the word minions for me here on out, because now whenever anyone says the word minions, I'm imagining a little yellow, one-eyed, overall thing running around and not speaking English, being like, beetle.
So when she thinks or remarks in her mind that Mrs. Fitz would do well at these other places, she then thinks more about her own time again and how lonely she is for it, and she thinks to herself again, what am I doing here? I just remembers her situation, and it's just so real but unreal. We learn that they've been married 1 month, Dinah tells us. Claire says that they'd drawn very close to each other. And this is Maya's side. So 6 weeks after she goes through the stones, they get married, and 1 month of marriage equals 10 weeks. So she has been in 1743 now for 10 weeks. She cries again, thinking of Frank, and tries hard to recall his features, but for a moment sees Randall, Blackjack Randall. And then it kind of morphs into Jamie's face as he's in the window in Randall's office. And she could not bring back Frank's face with any certainty, and this is really freaking her out. And I get it. I mean, that probably is almost more heart-wrenching to her than anything. She's still trying to get back to him, but to not even be able to recall his face scares her. So rather than just thinking of going back to Frank and feeling slightly bad for Jamie, but feeling sure he would get on without her for the first time, Claire wonders how she would feel parting from him. She doesn't want to allow him to fall in love with her. We'll wonder how, if that's too early or too late. Claire now is getting kind of twitchy, and she goes around the room picking things up and putting them down. Again, another perfect description of a scene I'm sure they will do, and I could totally imagine Katrina right now. That's, I have her in my mind as I'm reading again.
But to me, this is just another, it's an...
A montage?
No. This reminds me of the scene when she was in
the office.
In the office.
Me too, that's what I'm saying.
Waiting for Blackjack. Yes. Only this time she's not, you know, destroying
rummaging
things,
yeah. But this is something that, again, on a reread, I had never mentioned, but I hadn't done such close reading before. We see a very nice metaphor of Claire's life thus far. The comb that she'd been balancing on its end was knocked over by the draft caused by Jamie's opening the bedroom door. So Jamie has literally and metaphorically upset her equilibrium, her plans, her life. The stones, or falling through the stones, had upset the reset she and Frank had planned for their marriage. Her feelings for Jamie, whatever they were, and his for her, whatever they were, made her less adamant, perhaps, or perhaps a little bit less determined, to get back to the stones and back to Frank. So, although it doesn't, the chapter, the words, we don't spend a ton of time, you know, on this. She talks about a comb that fell over when the door opened. That's it. And then it's done. But that is, whew. Talk about something being knocked over because of Jamie. You know what I'm saying? Metaphorically? That's a, whew, that was beautiful, Diana. And I never read much into it before. So Jamie is obviously back in the room, and he admits that, yes, he did meet Leary on his way out. And Claire goes off. They have a heated exchange, and she somewhat is implying that he had gone to be with her in whatever way. And he's insulted that she'd think anything like that. So she basically tells Jamie that she knows she has no claim on him, and that if he has an attraction elsewhere, she won't stand in his way. And then he explodes. And he says, if she's no claim on him, he does have a claim on her. And he kisses her uber passionately. And then he picks her up and takes her.
I didn't even think it passionately. I think he kisses her aggressively.
Well, that's true. More like aggressively. And then he picks her up and takes her to the bed. And she asks what his intention is, which I thought was kind of funny. And he says, I thought it was pretty clear. And she goes, I don't want to sleep with you. And he says, in typical Jamie fashion, I don't intend to do that, at least not right away. And she doesn't want to be with him, is what she's trying to say. And he says, you're my wife and you must obey me. And she yells at him that if he wants to order her to bed and use her like a whore, he's no better than Captain Randall. And that is one of... After everything he has told her about this, and he's told her the deep, dark secret and everything, that is like, that's the worst thing she could have said. He stops and he says she can go, and she says she doesn't run from things. And he says he doesn't either. And then he asks her, what does the F word mean? If you must call me names, that's one thing, but I didn't care to be called things I can't answer. And so we learn a new word when Claire describes what it was. And Jamie's like, oh, swiving.
Swiving?
Oh, it might be swiving. I think it's swiving. But swiving probably would have two V's. But either way, it means what the F word does. It's just maybe not as coarse. And then he asks, what's a sadist? And Claire's trying not to laugh. Claire tells him that she's got some pride and that finding out that he'd married her, at least part of the reason for the money he would get once he were married, was tough. And he loses it again, but this time in laughter. And he tells her the money he married her for comes to about half a cow every quarter. We find out that his meeting Leary was an accident, and it was on his way to do his errand, and he wanted to buy something. He had wanted to get her a wedding ring from Ewan the Armorer. I wonder if he'll be a character in there, Ewan. She unwraps the small paper-wrapped parcel. Actually, I think he did it. She looked at it and couldn't really do much with it, and he undid it. And she feels a right shrew, as well as she should. He unwraps the ring for her, and she starts tearing up again. He asks her if she'll wear it, and says she doesn't have to, and offers to live apart if that's what she wants, and she'll still have all the protection he's promised her. Claire says, so he was giving me the choice I had started out giving him. Here was a choice he was giving her. Her relative freedom, but also protection, or the ring, and all that went with it. Diana mentions the setting sun, and the blue glass flagon, and the blue rays streaking the wall. The sunset seems to me a little symbolic of her decision, at least subconsciously, to accept Jamie, and the sunset on her, as well as it being kind of the sunset on her time with Frank and her attempts to go back to him. So at least her subconscious seems to have made an acceptance of her new life. And the blue light, we don't hear much about the blue light and Claire until the second book, right? So perhaps this is my pulling at straws, but the color choice, even if it was a common glass color at the time, also makes me think of medical jars, which reflects Claire as a healer, but some stuff we learn or experience later on in book two. She gives Jamie her hand, and he slips the ring on it. He asks her if she'll have him, and she says yes. She feels her two wedding rings on her now, one silver, one gold, and compares them to shackles, holding her there to the bed, like Prometheus, Diana says, and divided love, the vulture that tore at her heart. And I love this use, her use of the Greek myth. He is very rough with her. I don't think he's ever been this rough with her. Ever.
Well, not to this point.
That's what I'm saying. He is rough with her, and that's all I'll say. Afterward, he says, I'm your master, bitch. No, he doesn't.
He doesn't. Sorry.
Okay.
Was that just to see if I was paying attention to what you were saying?
Okay. That would be funny to leave in, huh?
Leave it.
No. I don't say those things. Okay.
Leave it.
Afterwards, he says, I'm your master and you're mine. Seems I cannot possess your soul without losing my own. You're too quick by half, lad. I thought drowsily to myself. Frank never did find that out. The next morning, they are comparing bruises, and Jamie basically says, bite me again.
Basically. But he also said he wouldn't apologize for any of them. He apologized for a couple of the new ones, but yes, all the rest of them, he's like, I'm not apologizing.
He did not apologize for the backside, and he did not apologize for the inner thighs.
No, because he said that she got him back.
Yes, but he did apologize for what?
He apologized for... Oh, he was sorry for the ones on her shoulders from when he shook her on the roadside the days before, but he did not apologize for anything that he gave her in moment of passion.
Or...
Oomphing.
I know what that means. Or the backside is what I'm saying.
And no, he did not. No, he was not apologizing for the spanking.
Or for enjoying it.
No. But they had that funny line about if you bed with the vixen, you have to expect to be bit.
Yes. Well, that's what I said.
No, you just said bite me again.
Yeah, but that he was referring to what she had said.
I know, but I'm referring to the whole line.
In this episode, we'd also like to feature one of our best boo winners, and that is Becky.
Hi, I'm Becky from Arkansas, and I got started reading Outlander thanks to my daughter, who brought me her copy when I was recovering from back surgery. 2009, so I was able to pretty much read straight through, then got Echo, and then The Scottish Prisoner, and now waiting for you know what. Would love to have Pocket Jamie, because I just want him. What can I say? Thanks.
Well, that wraps up our read-along. Chapter 23. Come back next week. We will be reading chapter 24.
We'll be reading. We'll discuss.
Well, actually, we're on to part 4. in the book. This is the beginning of part four next week.
And there's only five.
Part four is entitled "A Whiff of Brimstone."
And you, if oh yeah,
and this is chapter 24 is entitled "By the Pricking of My Thumbs."
There we go.
So read on, y'all. And we will come back next week and discuss chapter 24.
Thank you again, as always, so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode.
Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at @OutlanderPod. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/OutlanderPod. Or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com.
I dreamt it last night that my young love